Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board-certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast. I'm so thankful that you are able to join me today. If this is your first time, welcome. And if this is not your first time, welcome back. I am especially grateful to be joining you today after this historic snowstorm that fell in the great state of Texas. Some of you may not know, but I was born and raised here in Dallas. And so this was definitely a sight to see for us to get the amount of snow that we got in the past week and a half. I want to express my gratitude to everyone who has reached out to not only me, but to their loved ones just to check in. You know, whether you live here in this state, whether you were affected personally, or you know friends and family who live here, thank you so much for checking on us. It meant the world to us to have such an outpouring of love and concern and support. It was really interesting. I know here where I live, thankfully, we were not affected by any boil water notices, but we did have the rolling outages. So our power went out, I'd say probably every 15 minutes or so. I mean, it was really hard to time, but that's about how often the power would go out. And so, you know, it was not ideal, but certainly understandable because there were so many people who did not have power at all or did not have clean water at all, or some people had problems with both. I think what was so disheartening about all of this is hearing and seeing some of the comments from people who were so insensitive about the fact that we were not well equipped to handle the amount of snow that we received that pretty much wiped out almost the entire state. And some of the comments were so mean and so insensitive, and I just couldn't imagine having such a heart towards people who are in desperate need of food, who are in desperate need of power. When you think about people who have medical needs, or you have mothers who are relying on having power to take care of their small children, to take care of their children, taking care of their aging parents. And so it was really very unsettling to even hear people who have what I consider to be plenty of means and resources to be ungrateful. Like I said, although it was not ideal to have the power to go out every 10, 15 minutes or so, and sometimes those intervals were longer, but I see that as fair when you have the police departments and the fire departments and you have the hospitals and the nursing homes that cannot be without power. I was even frustrated with people who turn this into an opportunity to promote politics, to promote their political agenda with saying that if Republicans would do this or if the liberals hadn't done that. And it's just really not the time for that. And so I was really frustrated that so many people were in desperate need of the basics. And you have people who were sitting in very comfortable spaces and critiquing and being ungrateful for, even at the moment, the plush lifestyle they were living, considering the circumstances. And so I think we really have to take a look at our hearts and go back to the drawing board, especially for those of us who are Christian. But overall, I'm happy that we are Texas strong. We do everything big in Texas, including a snowstorm, I guess. And again, I'm so thankful to the outpouring of love that we have received all over the country. And our hearts and prayers are still with those who are still trying to recover from this catastrophic storm. Switching gears, I'm really excited to talk about our topic for today. It's been something that I've wanted to talk about for a while now, and I'm just now being able to put it on our agenda. But as you can tell from the title, we will be talking about retail therapy. Who loves to shop? I imagine most people enjoy shopping, especially if you're able to get what you want, get what you like, get what you need, and find it at a price that you're comfortable with. Shopping is fun. But today we'll be going a little bit deeper and talking about this idea of retail therapy. I know that some people listen to this podcast may be from other cultures and may not be familiar with the phrase. So to explain, retail therapy is shopping with the intention to change or improve your mood. And before I get into the topic even further, I want to just make this clear, and you'll hear me say it several times throughout the episode. I'm not here to bash shopping or bash, quote, retail therapy. But as the title suggests, is retail therapy really therapy? There's lots of pros to shopping, right? It's something that you can do pretty much 24 hours a day, especially with a lot of things being moved online. It's convenient. Depending on what you're trying to purchase, it doesn't require a whole lot of planning. It can be a distraction from your everyday world. It can be a form of self-care. Shopping is also a great way to connect socially. I know that before the pandemic hit, and as things are opening up some, I know many of us enjoy getting together with our friends, going shopping, purchasing whatever we were going to purchase, and maybe going to lunch or dinner afterwards. Or now that things have expanded online, it can still be a lot of social interaction. I know one of my good friends and I talk about different craft projects that we're working on. We talk about home decor that we're interested in. And another one of my friends, we connect around buying clothes. So we shop online, or if we see a particular item that we think the other one would look so great in, we will shoot that item over. Or we've even said, hey, I've seen this same item on a different website but at a better price. Let's check this out. And so it's just so fun to shop and connect socially. So that's another pro of shopping. If we think deeper about shopping, it can also make you feel powerful and in control, because you get to decide what you like. You get to decide what price you want to pay. If whatever they have listed as the price, you get to decide if that's something you want to buy or not. When you're in store, people are catering to you, helping you select items if you need it. And when you make that final purchase, whether it's online or in person, you can feel a sense of accomplishment. You can feel like a winner when you've gotten something that you've always wanted, or get something that you really like, and you feel like you've gotten a deal on it. And you can even feel special when you get extra perks for being an exclusive member. As I was preparing for this episode, I was looking at some different quotes about shopping and retail therapy, and there were some really cute ones out there. Here are a few of the ones that I liked. One says, treat yourself to a little retail therapy. Another one says, wouldn't it be nice if retail therapy was covered by health insurance? I think that one was my favorite. Another one says, life isn't perfect, but your outfit can be. And then another one that I thought was really cute says, don't cry, buy a bag and get over it. Now, I know that some of those quotes can be fun and funny and cute and lighthearted, but there were some other quotes about shopping and retail therapy that sends the wrong message and is at the heart of what we'll be talking about today in the episode. One says, who needs love when there is a thing called shopping? Another one says, retail therapy is the best therapy. I don't know about that, but I'm biased. Another one says, shopping is cheaper than a psychiatrist. I think I was most blown away by that one. Shopping is cheaper than a psychiatrist. What message are we sending with that statement? And then the last one says, I was sad, but then I bought something online. I feel better now. So as you can see, and as you already know, shopping can be great, but I want to make sure that we think deeply about our purchases and the thoughts and emotions that lead us to those purchases. I want to impress upon you that retail therapy is not always as therapeutic as we think. I think the most obvious drawback to retail therapy is that you can go over your budget. I mean, you can shop and shop and shop and go over your budget, or you can shop one time and go over your budget. So that's one of the most obvious reasons. Another one is that retail therapy can become a habit, just like other things, such as drinking, over or under eating, smoking. And if used in an unhealthy way, retail therapy is only a distraction, a short-term distraction, and it serves to temporarily cover up what's really going on the inside, and it doesn't really solve your problems. I know sometimes we can tell ourselves that we're getting great bargains, we're getting sale items, or that we're spending on our loved ones. But I say, we might be finding bargains, but you can't bargain with your emotions. So as you can probably already tell, from my point of view, retail therapy is not therapy. Let's look at a couple of definitions of therapy. One is from psychiatry.org, and it says, quote, psychotherapy or talk therapy is a way to help people with a broad variety of mental illnesses and emotional difficulties. Psychotherapy can help eliminate or control troubling symptoms so a person can function better and can increase well-being and healing. Another definition of therapy comes from the American Psychological Association, and it says, in psychotherapy, psychologists apply scientifically validated procedures to help people develop healthier, more effective habits. It's a collaborative treatment based on the relationship between an individual and a psychologist, although we know that that could also be another licensed mental health professional specialist. It goes on to say, you and your psychologist will work together to identify and change the thought and behavior patterns that are keeping you from feeling your best. So as you can see, retail therapy doesn't really offer all of that. Now, retail therapy is not bad, but it's just not therapy. And I want to make sure that you have a clear mindset when you shop. So before you go shopping and before you add those items to your cart, I want you to answer these four questions for me. So go ahead and grab a drink, grab a pen and a notepad, or open up the notes app on your phone. And let's get into the four questions that I want you to answer before you engage in retail therapy. The first question is there another way I can activate my senses? You know, shopping really stimulates your senses, whether it's online or in person. Obviously, we see items, so that's activating us visually. If we're in person, we can smell candles, we can touch the different fabrics, or if you have enough shopping experience, you can even read the description of the item online and get an idea of what certain materials will feel like on your body, or if you're buying something for your home, looking at what they're made of, you'll have an idea of what they will feel like. So shopping activates your senses. But I'm encouraging you to ask yourself, is there another way that I can activate my senses without going shopping? Can I look on Pinterest and make a board of the things that I would like to buy? Can I go on YouTube and watch videos? Can I watch videos of cooking? Can I watch videos of home improvement? Can I watch TV shows about those things? Is there a way that I can get my body moving? Can I light some candles? Can I do window shopping? Can I, instead of actually making the purchase, can I go online and can I browse? Can I make myself a wish list if that particular website doesn't have a feature that allows you to save your favorites? You can even activate your senses by going shopping in your own closet. I know there are times when you realize, oh, I forgot all about that purchase. Can you even sell some things from your closet on a site like Poshmark or a local resale shop? So that's the first question. The second, third, and fourth questions go much deeper. The second question has two parts, and it says, how am I feeling now, and what am I hoping to feel after I make this purchase? I'll say that again. How am I feeling now, and what am I hoping to feel after I make this purchase? If you can't tell by now, or if you're new here to the Amazing with Grace podcast, I'm all about helping you to identify your emotions. How is it that you're feeling? How do I feel? And once you identify how you're feeling, you can decide whether making that purchase actually fits what you need in the situation. So I'll give you an example. If I am in a situation where I just had a terrible interaction with someone and I'm feeling disrespected, if my go-to retail therapy is to purchase something, is that really going to solve my issue? It's not. So I want you to ask yourself, how am I feeling? Are you buying out of boredom to manage anxiety, loneliness? Are you depressed? If you are interested in learning more ways about how to deal with your emotions, I will put a plug here for my book, The Emotion Devotional, which is a 40-day journey towards emotional wholeness. In this book, I walk you through 40 unpleasant emotions and give you some different things to think about. So that is one way that you can remedy retail therapy for something more useful, something more long-lasting. Right? So this first part is asking yourself how you feel. You can just identify that verbally. You can write it down in a journal. You can put it in your notes app, or you can directly express yourself to the other person if it includes another person. So once you identify how you're feeling, the second part is answering, what am I hoping to feel after I make this purchase? There's a concept in psychology that I learned when I was in graduate school, and I really like it. It's called effective forecasting. And that's basically when you try to predict how you will feel in the future. Well, there's lots of studies on it, and most of the studies show that we're not very good at predicting our emotions because we tend to assume or predict that we will experience a certain emotion with a certain intensity and for a certain amount of time. However, the studies show that we are more likely to overestimate how we will feel in the future. And one reason for that is because we're only looking at one part of the situation and we omit some other important factors that are involved in the equation. For example, if I'm lonely and I tell myself that I will feel better after I shop for new clothes, right? So I'm predicting that I'm going to feel so much better after I shop for some new clothes. Yes, I may feel good after the clothes are purchased, but have you ever noticed that that feeling doesn't last as long? And that's because in this example, I wasn't looking at the fact that I'm lonely because I want a romantic relationship, or I'm lonely because I feel like the black sheep of my family, or I'm lonely because I want better friends. And really what I'm looking for is love and belonging. And buying a new wardrobe is not going to fix that. So that's why when you make purchases, trying to feel better, that's why the original feeling comes back. And so I'm suggesting to you that if you can identify what that original feeling is and identify what you're hoping to feel after you make the purchase, then I think it would really help you to decide whether making that purchase actually fits what you need in that situation. The third question is, how is my self-esteem? Now, I know that there are certain items that we buy because we just need them, right? I mean, there's no way around certain items we just need. But there are certain items that we buy because it's trendy or because the celebrities are wearing it or because having this particular thing or things indicates a certain status. And I want to encourage you to examine your self-esteem so that you can make sure your purchases are not covering up for perceived or actual deficits that we might have on the inside. I'll say that again. I want you to make sure that your purchases are not covering up for perceived or actual deficits on the inside. And what I mean by that is sometimes we may assume that something is wrong with us in a certain area, but that's because we're caught up in comparison. Or we may make an accurate assessment and say, hey, this is an area of weakness or growth edge, as I like to call them, that I have, that shopping or having the latest and greatest is not going to fix that. Temporarily, it may make you feel good, or you may be able to present one way to other people, but deep inside, you're hurting, you're broken, you're empty, you're lost, you're confused. And so I think answering this question, how is my self-esteem, will help you to know if you're making purchases just to boost your self-esteem or in an effort to boost your self-esteem. Are you thinking that buying that new item will make you feel better about yourself long-term? Are you buying items because you want to fit in, because you want to impress other people, or that you want to get noticed by someone? And sometimes we can buy things because we hope that that will motivate us into doing something. If I buy new clothes, that will motivate me to work out. Now, I'm not saying that it never works, but from my experience, that's usually very ineffective. And the fourth question is, how are my relationships? This question helps you to examine the quality of your relationships, because I think sometimes we can buy items to reward ourselves because we're not getting what we need in other relationships. We can buy items to comfort ourselves because we're not getting the comfort and validation that we need in our relationships. And remember how I said earlier that if we think deeper about the experience of shopping, that it can give us a sense of power and control and a sense of accomplishment. Sometimes if the quality of our relationships is not good, we can try to use shopping as a way to compensate for the fact that we don't have boundaries. So instead of me setting boundaries with my mom because I don't know how to set those boundaries, or I'm afraid of what will happen if I set those boundaries, I can just go shopping because, you know what? I feel good after I go shopping. I feel good about myself. I've been able to make choices and stick with them, and I feel accomplished over here in this area. But again, it does not solve the core issue. Am I shopping to fix feelings of rejection? And I've even seen people make purchases as a way to avoid making other decisions. For example, if I spend money on these things, or if I have someone who is willing to sponsor my retail therapy, and I get them to spend this money on me, then I don't have to face the reality that this person is not good for me. I can delay the decision to end the relationship. How many times have we heard people talk about the mindset of, well, if they're going to cheat on me, I may as well get something out of it. I may as well get a new bag out of it. Or if they're going to not really spend quality time with me like I need them to, at least I can get them to take me on a trip. At least I can get them to buy me a new car. So you see how engaging in this retail therapy helps them to avoid facing the reality that the quality of their relationship is not good. They can delay the decision to end the relationship. And on the flip side of that, sometimes people can even use retail therapy as a way to fix the relationship or to try to buy love. Now, I guess it works to some extent if that is that person's love language, but even buying items doesn't make up for the entirety of a healthy, fulfilled relationship. Okay, so let's review these four questions again. The first one is there another way I can activate my senses? The second one, remember, has two parts, and it says, how am I feeling now, and what am I hoping to feel after making this purchase? The third question is, how is my self-esteem? And the fourth question is, how are my relationships? I hope answering these questions can help you identify some of your shopping triggers that lead you to be deceived into thinking that shopping is therapeutic on the level of developing insight into your problems, into making lasting changes for your well-being. Let me read you some scriptures from Isaiah chapter 55. Now, the entire chapter is very therapeutic, but I want to call your attention to verses 1 through 3. And I'm reading from the NASB version. It says, "You there, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David." So I encourage you to read that entire chapter, but those first few verses of that chapter are so profound in the sense that I think it helps us to stop and think, what am I spending my money on and why? So again, I hope these questions were helpful to you to help you identify some of your shopping triggers. Overall, there is nothing wrong with shopping. I just want to impress upon you that retail therapy is not real therapy. And that's just my two cents on it. So I want to make sure that you shop with both purpose and wisdom. And with that, let us move into our prayer time. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to come together today on this episode to talk about something that we make light of, but there are true issues underlying our hearts when we make purchases. I am praying that there was something said today that is empowering to every listener on this episode. I pray that you help us to answer these questions so that way we can shop with purpose and wisdom. Let us tune into you and let us be first fulfilled by your love and your grace. And it's in your son's name that we pray, amen. If this episode has been at all helpful to you, I am encouraging you to share this with someone. And also, do me a favor and go on over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review this episode. Thank you so much. Until next time, take care.